windows here, son. I'm falling about like the devil's spawn. I'm a stranger born in the middle of the day in a strange hotel. And let me tell you, that man wears a trench coat, and he'll take you downtown. Last stand in the fallen street, he's an animal, and I'm a bag of blood. I turn to God, and I'm down on my knees, but I will stand my ground while the walls come down. He's a 7, I'm an 11, and I'm taking him out the land on my landing strip. My swinging big dick, slap him right in them fangs. Look alive, that man is an animal. Wasn't born this way, taken too soon from another's clutch. A stranger's touch, electricity and fire melt my mind with a needle wet thread. He's an animal, silver skin I own. The village torch, but I don't burn. He's an animal, thrashing wild and free, thrashing wild at me. But I will make him see that I will storm these streets with the city D's. I'm a man without a border, I am dirty, law and order. I will end this thing, my swinging big fist, slapping right in them fangs.
You are listening to Animal, which is the theme song from a little sketch comedy show that was made in Australia called The Elegant Gentleman's Guide to Knife Fighting. It was incredible, guys. You should get around that if you haven't had a chance to. I really enjoyed it, and I don't know if they are making a second season of it. I don't think so. It's been too long, I would assume, by now for them to be coming out with a second season. Surely it would have been announced. But you can find them. They're around online somewhere. Songs by a group called Arch Romance. Guys, today's podcast is so much fun. This song is sort of representative of how I'm feeling going into the festival. It's all high energy and excitement and bravado. Oh. But you should strap in. We've got a fun one today. Our guest is Kelly Fustuca, who we were kind enough to catch, or who was kind enough to come in because she couldn't do a live show. So we've set up this pre-show interview so we could get involved with her. She's a lot of fun. I would seriously love to have sat around and picked her brain for much longer, but as I mentioned in the podcast, we are quite short on time. She's doing all the festivals and running around doing a lot of promotion, so it's sort of hard to lock her down for a long period of time like I normally do with some of the guests. But this is a fun one, guys. You should go see her, go support her show, find her on Twitter. She's at Kelly Fustuca. And guys, we'd love to see you out at the show, the live shows, the live podcast. It is March 25th, April 1st, April 8th, April 15th. Get your tickets online at lunapark.com.au. It's going to be great, guys. Enjoy the podcast. dropping my shit all over you.
To have the charger on or?
No, it'll be fine. I'm going to use this one to play an eclipse. Ugh. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Mm.
My nose is really dirty. Good. Gross.
That's all right.
You know, I'm just hot.
It's hot, yeah.
It's hot all the time. I sweat a lot. I never used to sweat a lot, but now something happened. Probably, you know, going through the change.
Yeah.
It's probably early menopause. I got from Adelaide last night, and I was in Perth before that, so I've just been hot for 2 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, those hot-y. Are both, like, especially Perth. At the moment, it's got to be...
Oh, fuck, man, I can't even... I'm just sweaty all the time. And then I come back here, and it was, like, chilly, a bit chilly, like, last night and this morning. I was like, fuck, thank God. And now it's gotten hot again. I was in the car for an hour. I'm like, oh, man, no. I don't want to sweat anymore.
It's gross.
So uncomfortable all the time.
I know the feeling. I'm a consummate sweater. I
never used to be, though. This is very new to me. I was never... So I was always... I always ran cold. I was always, like, socks to bed, electric blanket... And then now I'm just like, oh, this is...
Like summer sheets. Yeah.
Like now I'm like not even a doona, I'm just like a blanket.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even handle.
I'm very much in that same territory. If I even have a blanket, well, at the moment, this time of year anyway. But we'll even during winter, it's just...
We'll see. Winter will come and I'll be just... I remember last winter having a hot water bottle in the bed and exhaling it, like just I was cuddling it with my feet, like I was in a ball over the water bottle because my hands and my feet had to like touch it because I was just so uncomfortable.
So this is like when you say new, you mean like new like last year, last 6 months, this transition?
Something happened around October. I remember I felt it because I was in America and they started going through their autumn and people were wearing hoodies and coats around me. So I'd be like, oh, well, it's, you know, 8 degrees outside. I should wear a coat.
Seems reasonable.
And I'm like, I can't wear a coat. Like I was wearing like a T-shirt and like a flannel net shirt. And that's it. Every time I wore a coat thinking I'd need it. And when I say coat, I mean like a light winter jacket or like a leather jacket or something.
Mm.
I just was like, I can't wear this. I'm just too hot. And I was like, I was walking around in a T-shirt all the time.
Are you sure you're not just on the verge of spontaneously combusting?
Maybe.
Or human torching
it's
out?
It's probably menopause. Like, I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
I know that I look so young for it, but stranger things have happened. But we'll see. But, I mean, I'm pretty regular, though, so who knows? I don't know. Something happened. A shift happened in my body temperature, where I am now.
I guess it depends on how you feel about kids and whether that's a good change or not. Like, that could be a blessing.
I'd rather make the decision on my own. I'd rather
have it taken from me.
I'd rather my pipes not tell me that I don't have any other choice.
We're done now, shutting down the factory. Yeah. It's
kind of a scary thought that time's running out and I better get a move on. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty fucking far behind at this point. unless it's an accident, unless I trick someone, nothing's going to happen. unless I am the Madonna. And have immaculate conception. I don't think anything's going to happen. But, well, we hope and we pray.
No little fistukas running around.
No. Oh, wouldn't that be funny? Oh, God. I don't know. I always thought if I fell pregnant, I'm like, I've never been in a position where that would be a good thing. Where it would, you know, I'm sure it would work out or whatever. But I'd be like, geez, my whole life would fucking change. Everything would change.
Mm.
I would never get laid again. and what a horrible thought to think. But
you just got to find a really... lonely friend who's willing to babysit all the time.
Yeah, well, all my mates that I made deals with, they've all gotten married. I had like, you know, when we're 40, we're getting married. I had like four of them, and they were all gotten married or gay.
It was good to have options, I guess.
My options are done. I'm the last corn on the field.
Oh. After that forward planning, I never made any deals.
Yeah, I always had deals. I was always petrified of dying alone. But they're all. I guess I won't be alone. I've got mates and stuff. But
yeah.
I'm also like, oh boy, just have to.
There are shades of alone, I guess.
Yeah, I'll just. Like, I mean, my friends all have babies now, so I can kind of get, you know, some good them. Baby cuddles when I need to, you know. And then after an hour, I'm like, all right, I'm done. I want to go watch TV.
I want something that swears. Put it back.
No, I want to watch 7 episodes of Community all in a row, not be interrupted.
Yeah, that's probably a better afternoon.
Yeah. I can get into that. I realize that my friends, like, I'm always talking about TV. I'm like, did you watch this doco? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? And no one's seen anything. They have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, that's right. You guys don't actually have time on your hands. Like, I shouldn't have time on my hands. I should be a lot busier than what I am. Like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I'm extremely busy, but I'm not busy. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know.
Yeah, like, if I utilize every second of my days, I mean, Jesus Christ, I would be a millionaire. But I'd be a famous millionaire, but I don't, because I have terrible, I'm terrible at focusing on any one thing. But we'll get there. It's fine.
You know? I don't know that that's all that necessary a skill. I mean, all the people who are sort of overly focused that I've ever encountered are really weird. They're really, really creepy. And you're just sort of like super.
Yeah.
Like just way too tunnel vision about a thing. You're just like, just chill. Hmm. Just pull it back a little bit. And
yeah, I think I used to be a bit like that. And then I sort of had to take a bit of a back seat and just kind of enjoy life a bit more, because comedy started being really. There was a lot of elements that were taking the joy out of it. So I had to kind of make sure I still have a good time. So then when I go to comedy, I'm like excited to be there and happy to be there and all those things. Mm. But I was just doing so much and so much bad comedy that I was like, oh, fuck. You got to like step back and like, you know, watch a veteran, watch someone who's really good.
Yeah.
And just
learn,
you know, and just be like, you know, love it again and just be excited about writing and stuff again.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that same feeling. And I, whenever someone comes in, rolls into town, which makes the comedy festival really exciting and very devastating on my bank account. Well, this is the first year I've put a show into it. So year I've actually been.
What's your show?
We're doing just like a live version of this podcast and we are just getting people from the local scene and sort of Australian comedians who people we think should know and getting them up on stage and just getting them to perform.
Yeah, there's a few good internationals coming back, like Kyle Kinane and Bridget Everett and Mark
Norman. I saw Kyle last time he came around.
You asked me about which comic to choose and I chose Joe List, but Joe List actually has a podcast called Tuesdays with Stories.
Oh, actually, I do know that title. Yeah. I've not heard it, so I didn't know.
Yeah, with Mark Norman and he's coming down for headliners. So you should definitely check him out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He's been Amy Schumer's opener for years, but on his own, I mean, his Conan is really good. Conan's, I should say. His half-hour special is really good on Comedy Central. He's great.
Yeah.
And him and people like Mark and Joe are just excellent joke writers. And I was talking to someone, a British comic, the other night, and we were talking about American comics, and I mentioned Mark, and he went, oh, I know Mark. He went... and I said, yeah, I like him because there's no room to move. Like, he's got that one premise and then we go and he punches it and punches and tags it and it's dead at the end. There's nothing that, like, really beats it through. And he agreed. He was like, that's one thing I've noticed about Mark. He can't, there's no stone left unturned. And Joe's the same. And I remember having this conversation with Joe and he was, and I was like, man, there was one bit he did and I was like, dude, this is that. You know, you've worked it from every possible angle. It's amazing. Like, he has 15 minutes on shoes, and it's great.
Brilliant.
It's really good. Like, it's about women and high heel shoes.
Mm.
You know, and I think one of the lines, I'm going to butcher it, is like, let's get you out of those. Like, a woman just wearing high heel shoes is really sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's get you out of those clothes and back into those shoes or something like that. Like, really, and it goes forever. I'm like, wow, there's nowhere to move. And he goes, yeah, Kelly, I'm a comedian. That's what I do. Like, that's what you're supposed to do with jokes. Didn't you know? Aren't you a comic? And I'm like, yeah, I know that, but fucking, oh, it's a bit harder. I'm not a writer like that. I'm more emotive and then figure out, you know, where the lines come after that. But he, but people like him are really good joke writers.
Yeah, it's a really exciting skill when you see it implemented that well. I mean,
I'm so sorry for yawning.
No, not at all.
Over the last 2 years, I've had terrible chronic fatigue, and this is what you get around this time of day.
Right.
If I haven't. Nap time. Yeah. If I don't get a chance to nap, I I'm a bit of, I'm in a daze for about an hour and a half. And I yawn, and it's like, and I know, and I'm like, I'm aware that I'm awake, but my body just wants to lay down.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'll push through, and I'll be yawning for the next 2 hours, and then I'll try and I'll go to bed at like midnight, and I won't be able to fall asleep.
Of course, because your body hates you.
So then I have to, you know, push through my 2 hours of like yawning and tired, nearly falling asleep on the wheel, just to make sure that I do sleep at night.
Your audience is going to love you tonight. Yawning through your own sets.
Hopefully I'll buck up before then. Like, ideally I would love to have a coffee now, but I've already had two today.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, and I haven't napped on purpose. Well, I can't even.
If I feel that sharp intake of breath, I'll just start talking suddenly and be like, it's nothing, nothing's going on. Don't even pay attention.
Well, it's because I've just come back from Adelaide Festival, so I'm all, my sleeping patterns are all over the shop, so I set my alarm today for 7:30. I thought I would get up and work out.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm trying to get to a good...
live a regular life.
Yeah, like, you know, bed at midnight, up at 8 is a good rhythm to get into. And if I don't do that, I'll be, you know, sleeping by 4, up at 12. It's really bad.
Yeah. No, it's not a great way to live. And even if it's sort of like semi-logical in the way that you're performing at night and that's sort of what you're doing at the moment, it's not good for the
body. Well, that's when I'm more awake. Yeah. I'm wide awake at 10 o'clock at night. Or midnight.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, I like even last night I didn't have a gig and I stayed home, but I was wide awake and just on my computer, you know, doing bullshit. But mornings takes me a while. It just takes me a while to get going.
Look, I can feel that. Yeah. I have never really done mornings myself. I've always been a late night owl, so it feels like the right. Your brain just starts to kick in when you get to that point, and you're just feeling. The thoughts churning over on you. I mean, in terms of when I do my writing, that's sort of when it starts coming a bit later. Like, I could sit today. I did nothing. Like, I've sat around all day. I could have been writing all day, but my brain won't kick in.
Don't you have a day job?
Sort of. I, like, work part-time in a couple of places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I writing in the morning, I think, is the most beneficial for anyone because your mind is a lot more crisp. But by the time he can open another one...
It's fine, I'll just edit them all out.
Isn't it terrible? I was saying to the someone, I had a room, I don't know why I keep mentioning Adelaide. I think
no, it's just fine, fresh it just in happened, my mind. It's all there,
it's all fresh. So it was really, really hot in Adelaide and I was on the second floor. I was in a really small room. They had an AC, but it was a really small room. And because I was at 9 o'clock, I had like 4 shows before me. And the humidity was like 70%, you know. So by the time I get into my room, even though the AC's on, it is hot.
Well, this is like, you know, body temperature.
Yeah, and I'm hot from being outside and flying. And so I would just walk into that room and, you know, like as soon as the show before me finished, we'd get the door and just, you know, open and close the door, fan the door just to kind of make it better and then close it for like... But because then we were always running behind, everyone kind of runs over, so... You know, I don't get into... I start at 9, but I'm not getting into my room. Like, getting into it until 5 past 9.
Right.
So then at 8 past 9, 3 minutes later, they're like, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready, but fuck, you know, give me a second to, like, try and cool the room down. Because if it did finish when I was supposed to, I would have 10 minutes of room cool, you know? But I don't get it. And I'd rather not, the show not be running late and stuff, so...
Yeah, of course.
I was sweating. Like, I was on stage and just feeling the beads of sweat just coming from... Like going down my back, and my t-shirt would be drenched, and my jeans would be drenched, my underwear would be drenched. Like, it's just every part of my body. And I had a fan in my room, and I put the fan towards me, and then so the audience could have the AC. And I'd give out my flyers so that they could fan themselves with my flyers during the show.
Nice, yeah, nice.
And then one night, the fan was missing, and they were like, you'll be right. I went, I need my fan.
Yeah, you don't understand.
Because I was sweating that much with a fan in front of me.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but I think it's in. I said, I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm telling you that I can't start until I get a fan. And then one of the girls, like, she was just like, kind of like, whatever about it. And I said, listen, I'm like, I have a condition called Potts syndrome. I need the fan. I'm telling you right now. And she laughed and went, I don't believe you.
Yeah.
She goes, what the hell's Potts syndrome? And I'm like, it's a condition I have with my blood pressure where I have really low blood pressure. And when I'm standing for a long period of time, there's no blood going to my head very well and I'll black out. and it's worse when I'm hot.
Great. Right?
So I have two bottles of water. Sounds like a
perfect storm of disaster. Yeah,
I have two bottles. When I go on stage, I have two bottles of water. I have a Gatorade because I will go through all of them while I'm on stage, just so I don't black out while I'm on stage. Because like other shows, it's okay because I'm not normally hot. Like you know, it's not normally this hot. And in Perth, my room, the way the ventilation was, it was a lot better. Yeah. Like I never sweated like I did in Perth, even though it was hotter then. I don't know how I did in Adelaide, just the way the room was.
Yeah, yeah.
Great room, but just the humidity there was so much worse than Perth. And I'm like, and she's like, I don't know whether to believe you right now. I'm like, believe me, what are we talking about? I'm like, I'm telling you, that's why I need the fan there. Like, I'm not being a diva. Like, I've asked for nothing off anybody.
Mm.
That's why I need the fan. And she's like, and she started laughing again because she's like, I think you're making this up. That doesn't sound like a real
Just because you're a comedian thing. Doesn't mean you can't speak seriously.
Yeah. And she goes, Potts syndrome. What's Potts syndrome? I'm like, I don't know. It stands for fucking, like, post audio, like, but with an O, you know, to S, I don't know, whatever it is. But trust me when I tell you that.
But also, she could just Google it.
Yeah, I was like, because she was laughing. She goes, oh, man. She goes, I don't know if you're trying to take me for a ride or not. Yeah. But she thought I was making fun of it.
It's got the word pot in it, so, yeah.
Exactly. And then she goes, well, and because I'm going to explain, I guess, my blood pressure. And I said, seriously, like, when I'm hot, it sets it off. Like, hotness and stress sets it off. So I just need to, and she was just like laughing. And I'm like, get the fan. Go get me my fucking fan.
Yeah.
This is the only time I've ever had a diva out and you're making me do it now, you know.
Yeah.
4 minutes after I was supposed to start my show. Anyway, which is fine.
Festivals, so much
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, she was fine. I was just being really, really hard to deal with at that point. And I'm never hard to deal with. I think I'm adorable, but, you know. Sometimes I just got to put my foot down because the two nights before it was really hot in there and I made the mistake of thinking that I was fine and put the fan towards the audience because I really, the night before that, I had the fan and the audience was really, really hot and uncomfortable and I didn't want that. So I was like, well, I'll give them the fan in the front row, AC at the back, you'll be fine. But that made it really bad for me. I nearly had a blackout 10 minutes in. So, so I was like, all right, sorry, guys. I got to put rank on this. Once the weather cools down, it'll be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, it's not good.
Well, I mean, on the plus side, I guess everywhere you're going tonight, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be, like, pre-filled with, you know, 30-odd bodies, just warming up, big stage lights, all that sort of stuff.
It should be okay. I do like wearing sleeves. I have big arms. I like to cover them up with sleeves, but I just can't do that with this weather. So... You know, t-shirts.
More of a
whatever.
Spring autumn comic than a summer comic.
I know. I'm dying for colder weather. And I'm going back to the States in May, so by the time we get cold weather here.
Yeah, you'll be rolling straight into summer.
And then their summer is fucking brutal.
Really?
Yeah. They have a really brutal summer. Really stuffy, really humid. It's really, really rough. So I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake. We'll see. No big whoop. We'll see. Anyway.
Well, you know, you've got to deal with it. It's your thing. You know, sort of try and manage your conditions and still get a life out of it or a working life out of it.
Yeah, that's right. We'll get there. We'll get there, guys. Look, we're having fun, aren't we? We're having fun.
Who isn't having fun?
We'll get there. I don't know. Did you want to talk to me about comedy?
Sorry, we'll get there.
Oh, we'll get there? Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Because I'm kind of like, la, 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 la.
No. Natural transitions. Are much nicer.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to direct shows. I'm
conscious of you needing to leave.
Oh, no, you're right.
And we'll keep that in mind.
Oh, that's all right.
We've only got one thing each. And
oh, right. Did you find any comedy stuff?
I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's exciting. Do we have to talk about the one person? Can we talk about other people?
You can talk about whoever you like.
Oh, great. I like nerding out about comedy. Yeah. It's really fun.
You're the guest. You can run the show if you feel you want to.
No. It's your show. You ask me whatever you want to ask me. Otherwise, I'll direct the conversation.
I'm okay with that. Sorry, you want to nerd out. Who do you like?
Who do I like?
Yeah, who you on at the moment?
I should have been more prepared. That's all right. No. What specials did I just watch? See, because I was going through a bunch of specials on Netflix, but now...
See, our Netflix is not nearly as good as our States do.
I have American Netflix.
You're doing American Netflix.
And we've gone through... We have allegedly gone through 3 different unblock me sites so I can keep the American one. And it's proving very difficult.
Yeah, no, they're trying to crack down on it.
It's so stupid. Mm. And the thing is, Netflix are on our side because it's like, well, we're paying for it. We're paying for it. Just let us have it. But then it's like, well, then, because a lot of those shows are on Foxtel, so it's Rupert Murdoch trying to block it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe Foxtel shit Rupert Murdoch. Maybe you've put so many fucking shit content on and you wait too long to show things. Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
You've
burnt the bridge.
And also, IQ fucks up where it won't start. Like, if you IQ something, it'll start. If something starts early or late, you have to, like, manually go in and check it because it sometimes doesn't. Anyway, it's just the worst. And I used to work with Foxtel. But I just, it makes me so mad because I get, like, the Australian version and it's so shit. Not the Australian shows on there are good, but they don't have any of the 30 for 30 documentaries. Like, no, they have hardly no specials and it's so annoying. But I finally got around to watching John Mulaney, New in Town, which is an old special. And it's good.
I haven't seen New in Town, but I've seen Comeback Kid.
Oh, is it, and it's good?
It's so good.
He's great. Yeah. He's unbelievable. And he's just this young, skinny nerd.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say nerd. Nerds are mean. He's a dork because dorks are adorable. But it's just so clever.
Yeah,
it's just so funny. It's so clever. I feel bad because I didn't get to see much comedy when I was in Adelaide or Perth. I just get so busy.
Doing a full festival run or?
No, I only did the week.
Right, right.
And in Perth, I only did 2 weeks.
So you're just in and out.
Yeah, and because I'm so busy and doing my own stupid shit, the only time I got to see people, because I had, like in Perth, I had a 6 o'clock show and then I was normally hosting a storyteller show after it.
Yeah.
So sometimes like I would have I'd finish like at like say 7 o'clock and then I'd have a show at 7:30 and then I'd host something at 9:20 and then a bunch of shows. I picked up a bunch of like late night 11:30 shows. So most of the time I was doing 3 or 4 gigs a night, which is awesome, but I'd only get to see the people I was booked on the show with. So I saw for the first time, if we're talking about Aussie comics, for the first time I saw Reese Nicholson.
Okay.
Sydney comic. Never seen him before. Always kind of like, I'd followed him on Twitter. I knew he was funny. Knew he was good. Knew that he was, you know, getting heat. So good.
Yeah.
So good. This kid, like, so quick. Like, just everything. And he had a joke that I was so mad I hadn't written. So mad. I was like, I should have written this
so
before.
Many of those.
Yeah. I was like, I should have written this joke. Why didn't I write this joke? This is so stupid. And I mean, I don't know. It's just great. But coming from him, it's just quick, fast, fucking perfect joke. And he's just like, I think it was I'm going to butcher it.
No, give it a try. I'll
totally butcher it. But it was something like, you know, when I think I would survive water's torture.
Okay, yeah.
But give me 2 Chardonnays, I'll tell you everything.
No, I like that. That's nice.
But it's perfect. I'm like, exactly. And I was a friend of mine who gets, you know, whenever she gets drunk, she tells me everything to the point where I remind her and she's like, did I tell you that? I'm like, yes, you did. And I'm like, you're the Reese Nicholson joke.
Yeah,
like,
living embodiment.
Yeah, like water torture. I wouldn't tell you anything, but give me 2 Chardonnays, you know. Quick, so good.
There's an old joke from, I don't think he does it anymore. There's a Melbourne-based stand-up called Alistair Tremblay Birchall.
Mm.
One of the first jokes I saw him do, I still remember to this day because I had that exact thought. I was just like, why didn't I come up with that? And it's about paranoia, and it's about why is there no positive paranoia? It's always negative paranoia. And the sentence he envisioned the guy saying was just like, I think this guy wants to give me a trophy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Trophy is the good word there.
Mm.
I think the guy wants to give me a trophy. What if he wants to give me a trophy?
Yeah. What do I do about this?
What do I do if he gives me a trophy? I'll just be really happy and thank him. That's really funny.
Yeah, I love the premise. He's great.
Oh, that's great. I don't know. I think I'm trying to think who else. But most people I know I've seen before.
Sure.
Bart Fribourne, who I just Bart's adore. Great. I mean, I adore. I think he's got his voice is changing now as well. Where he's always been
finding himself a bit more.
No, I think he's always knew who he was, but he was very accessible to a lot of people. But lately, when I've seen him, he's been more accessible. Like, I would watch his material and I would think he was so funny and then think, oh, I wonder if he could do this in the clubs. And then I'd see him do the clubs and he can.
Right.
Completely, a complete little, like, a little bulldozer. Really, 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 really funny.
No, it's great to see that stuff transition over, because there is very much a theatrical type of gear and stuff that you can definitely do in more of the clubs. Not that we have that many comedy clubs here. We have, like, the open mics and stuff, and the more pubs and rooms and stuff like that. But that you do feel the difference. Like, you go see someone in their longer run festival show, and you sometimes see a thing that I would assume wouldn't fly, or it would take him a while.
Yeah, but he like, he's always, to me, done something a little bit more whimsical, and then I've seen him do this whole bunch of stuff about pies and tomato sauce and the football, and it was, I was dying. I'm like, this is so great, dude. Far out. So funny. He's great. Yeah, he's really good.
No, he's good. Get into him. Cool. How was, how's your run? You feel good?
Yeah, I feel good. I feel like I feel like it was struggling at the beginning. Like, before I went to Perth, I was just like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing? Does this make any sense? Yeah. And my running order, I just couldn't, I could not figure out where things were meant to be and what I was trying to say and what is this about and all this bullshit. And then Perth ironed out a lot of creases, found an ending, which I was searching for. Yeah, and then Adelaide, I felt great about the show. I felt really good about the show. And it was just up to me. It was just up to me to, like, just listen back to the tape and cut out the fat. And then, like, the last show I did there, I felt really good about it. I was like, this is a good show. This is fun. This is funny. This is funny. I've got a really, you know, unique story that kind of goes through it all, that has a ending at the end. And, you know, and when you think it's over, it's not, and then it's not again. I do, last year I had more, it was more of, you know, like, there was, it was a stand-up show where it was a generic theme that I was playing to. And this one is the same thing, but there is a story that I begin with that ends.
Okay, cool.
You know, and the stand-up is all in the middle. Nice
undertones of continuation.
Yeah, so I felt really good. I mean, I don't know, I just, sometimes it's hard to, you know, feel confidence in yourself. But I feel like after, especially the last show in Adelaide, I mean, I've done the show 16 times now. I feel good about it. And I just hope people come.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's good. And I think that they'll leave going, this was fun. This was funny. And I'm glad I saw it. Like, I think it's, I just need people to come. I need people to know my name and just trust. Trust me that.
Yeah,
I know
if you, that this you want to become good. A known entity. Yeah. At least a trusted entity.
Yeah, I know, like, if this was a shit show, I wouldn't be want to, I'd just be mortified. I'd feel bad about it. I'd just be like, this is terrible. What are we even doing here? But I don't, like, I'm like, no, and I know, I see the people that like it the most. I can, the people that are laughing the most, that are finding, you know, something to have in common with the material. I'm like, I know you'll like it. And I know that if you just heard about me or someone dragged you along, I know you would have a good time. But one of the nicest things, I had a review last year that said, if you watch Kelly Vistuga and at the end don't want to give her a big hug, there's something wrong with you.
That's adorable.
And I thought that was such a great...
Yeah.
And it was a, you know, it was such a sweet review. It was 4 stars. Like, it was so... She was just... It was really... That was it. And then she was like, this is a really funny show. You should see it. Like, and I'm like, oh, great.
Cool. That's kind of exciting. It's a nice lead up.
I hope so. I just hope so. I mean, I guess I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I'm sure there'll be people that...
Oh, but that's just...
You know, but that, which is fine. I don't want them to come. Yeah. If they're not my cup of tea, don't come. It's totally fine. I mean, I'm happy to take your money, but you don't have to come.
But don't say anything.
Because but I know there's a lot of people out there that would be like, oh, this girl, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Right. So, yeah, people have seen you around or maybe heard your name but hadn't retained it. No, I know that. I know that feeling. All right. Well, that's nice that you found a... Like, is this all stuff you've been developing over the last year? Because you said you did a show last year.
Longer. So I... Basically, I've just... All the material that I've ever written, like 8 years worth, I put in last year's show. But there was also a bunch of stuff that didn't make it because just didn't fit the flow, which I tried to make room for this year. And then there's also newer stuff. Like, especially, I reckon the first 10 minutes of this show is stuff that's been developed the last 6 months.
Okay.
Really, and then there's other stories that have come in. Like, the story at the end is, I think that's an old joke. I think that's like a 4-year-old joke that just never fitted in anywhere.
Yeah, just didn't have a home.
But in this show, it fits in at the end.
Great. I love finding a home for a good show.
Yeah, but then there's also other stuff that I really love that just didn't fit into this show. So I'm like, okay, next year,
yeah,
I should have room for this next year.
Got a backlog.
Because, there's stuff that's there, but also I have to spend more time in America because I need to turn over the material quicker, and it's harder to turn over the material in Australia. Yeah,
there's nothing here.
So I know that, like, I don't know what I'd want to talk about next year, and I know that there'll be a show, but... And I, even thinking about it before even Comedy Festival started is daunting. Mm-hmm. But I know that if I just spend a good 8 months in America next year, that I will turn over things a lot better.
Sure. Tell me about the States. I'm really curious about...
Oh, what do you want to know?
I don't know. What
comedy's like?
Yeah.
Well, what do? It's a really, you know, it's a big hustle. You really got to get your shit together and... be organized.
Of course.
And if you are, you can, like... It's a business. Yeah, it's a real business there. But if you are, I mean, there's so many open mics there. There's good ones, there's terrible ones, there's ones that are free, ones you have to buy a drink, ones that you pay for, like you just pay $5 to do 4 minutes or something, which is such terrible
bullshit.
That's
a fucking hustle.
No, I made a decision a while ago not to pay for mics. Like, if it's a drink, I'll do a drink because I'll support the bar. But I'm not going to pay $5 to someone to earn money off me.
Yeah.
Because it's an open mic. I'm trying out my jokes, you know? And I just hate that. I hate people making money off that. And, So, I don't know. I just guess it's like, yeah, if you just organize yourself, you can get up. Like, you can write a joke in the day and try and get up 3 or 4 times at night. And plus, you know, if I do, you know, an open mic at 6 and then... 8 o'clock, I can go to a club at 10 and watch, you know, really strong people, you know, people like Joe List and Dan Soder or Mark Normand on a 10 o'clock show somewhere and just watch them as the comedy nerd that I am. Because that's just 3 examples of guys that I know. And there's women as well. I'm just using.
Of course.
Adrian Appalucci, Nikki Glaser.
Yep.
Sarah Tolomash is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. They're all great.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to fly the feminist flag right now just because...
That's fine.
Because I feel like I don't need to because women are killing it so much at the moment that it's unfucking believable.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, women are just annihilating. Like, the gala this year is hosted by Celia Pacola. Yeah. Like, you know, Amy Schumer is the biggest comic in the world at the moment.
Well, she came here to promote her film on a whim, just sort of put together a show.
Yeah, 2 shows, and they sold out in a second.
Yeah.
You couldn't get to see her. I was here for like 4 days. Schumer, you know, Paula, their TV shows are unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like...
You don't have to defend women in comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I hear the old women are funny, I'm like, you don't know comedy. You obviously, like, trust me. Broad City, holy shit. Oh, that's
amazing, yeah.
Broad City, Inside Amy Schumer is one of... Like, that sketch they did on Inside Amy, 12 Angry Men.
Oh, I love that entire episode.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
And I think because I wonder if people who don't know 12 Angry Men...
They just didn't know what the fuck was
going
on. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm curious to know someone who's seen that sketch who doesn't know 12 Angry Men to see what they think. But I love both the 50s version and the 90s version with Gandolfini and Tony Danza, like... but then the Henry Fonda one as well. Like, I fucking love... And it's, as a play, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's one of my fucking favourite things in the world.
I mean, everything about that decision was genius.
Unbelievable. Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Oh, Nick DiPaolo. Nick DiPaolo playing the George C. Scott, you know, character, like... and just, you know, losing his shit going, she's not a 10. Look at her. Look at her chipmunk. Look at her chipmunk face. Unbelievable. So... I mean, the thing is, and then there's, and I remember, I think there's one of the writers for Inside Amy. He's, I can never say his last name, even though I've known him for years. Is it, I'm an idiot. Kurt Mexner.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
I can never say the last name because it's a G and a Z and it's horrible. But Kurt is, Kurt's stand-up is he's unbelievable. I'm such a good stand-up. And he's hilarious on Facebook because all he does on Facebook is just rant. And sometimes he's not popular with women, but I really like him.
Yeah.
Because the rants feed me a lot and give me a lot. Yeah,
good ammo.
Yeah, and he was saying that some people attack him for not being a feminist show. Like, the show isn't about feminism. Like, they'll do a sketch where it's not you know, where it's just a fucking sketch, just chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, trust that you should know that if it's a show, if it's Amy Schumer's show, that if it's something that really paints a woman badly, she's not going to, it's not going to get passed.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of her writers, like, I think, like, Claudia Doherty's writing for her now. There's a bunch of fucking writers that are on there. I want to say maybe Tigataro. Yeah. And then one of the sketches that people kind of gave a shit about, she was like, this was, and Kurt was like, this was written by the women. Like, the chicks wrote this.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're, as a comic, they're thinking of something and thinking, okay, let's do a spin on this. This is a funny thing to have. Yeah. And then the other people in the other line, they're like, but it's not, but you can't. They're missing the point because that's not, because those girls are flying the flag.
Yeah.
By working and by pushing things and changing. They're flying our flag. It's fine. You don't, not all of you have to fucking say something about something.
Well, that's right. You know, every so often you can roll in and just be like, there's this other side of life as well. Yeah. And this is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, right? It's fine. It's funny. Yeah, it's, I mean, I would like, I'm very sensitive towards a lot of that stuff, but I'm also very like, oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've got a brain enough to know that blackface is not good, but there's also stuff where I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh man, it's she's like, so good. I don't know what was I talking about before then. Women in comedy, I don't know. Yeah, women in comedy, it doesn't exist. It's I mean, there's things that happen to women in comedy which fucking stink. Which are
awful, yeah.
Which fucking stink. And they believe me, they're there. And every comic that goes, it doesn't exist, trust me, it's fucking there. But the majority, I would say 97% of comics I know are fucking awesome. And they, you know, if they have their own room, they book rooms based on who's funny, and there's always a chick on the bill regardless. And they never say anything stupid to me.
Good.
Never. Great. But then there's like a 3% who just don't know how to book women, never book women.
Ruin and it then for the rest of us.
I turned up to a show and the comic who booked it said, where's your bikini?
What?
Yeah. Now, it's not a big deal. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. It's not a big deal. But just hearing, well, where's your bikini? And I just went, fuck off.
Yeah.
Now, I'm difficult because I've told someone to fuck off. But right. Where's your bikini? Like, why would you? Why would I?
Yeah.
Why are you saying that? Like, why? Do you really think that they want to see me in a bikini doing jokes? Do you really think that that is better? Like, because I'm a... what's the equivalent? Like, you know, if a guy turns up, where's your boner? Why don't you have a boner right now? You should have a boner right now. I
always perform with a boner. Yeah, so,
like,
you know.
It's just... And the thing is, and then someone, like another comic heard it, and they were, and it was a guy, and he was like, what the fuck, man? Like, he was just annoyed by it, because that's so stupid. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I just said what I wanted to say, which was, fuck off.
Fair.
And then I sat down and got ready and did my spot, and then left. But, now it's like a bunch of us have like a, whenever something like that happens, we always go, women in comedy. Women in comedy, just to kind of, like if something happens, like I think another time someone else said to me, I was outside and we were getting rained on and a comic was like, come on, man, where's your white t-shirt? So I was getting rained on. And I'm just like, I just looked at him, I'm like, women in comedy.
Yeah.
Women in comedy.
It's like your serenity now.
Someone's going to explode. It's just like, and you hear stuff like that, you're just like, shut up. Like there's everyone else, no one else here has said something like that. Why do you have to be that one? But maybe that's their sense of humor. Maybe their sense of humor is that. It's not mine.
Maybe, yeah. But still, like, just come on, guys. Get your shit together.
I've had comics say to me, maybe I should do prostitution because I would make more money being a comic.
Yeah, maybe they should do gay prostitution. Yeah, they'd probably make more money.
Maybe they should do gay porn. Maybe they should write some new jokes. How about that? How about you don't do a joke that you've done? Way too
refreshing.
How about you don't do a joke that you've been doing for the last 15 years? Anyway, that stuff happens, but I don't care. Because it just makes me vindictive, and it makes me want to be funnier than them, and it makes me, when I go on stage, want to be the best one that's on the lineup.
Spite is a bizarrely good motivator.
Yeah, it's a good motivator. Mm. It's a good motivator to be the funniest person on the bill, which doesn't happen a lot, but if... anything bad happens, I can always, that's what I strive for.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I have not very often have I been the funniest. I've been the worst one, but.
I was thinking not consistently the worst one.
No. You
gotta tote that line.
No, it depends.
It's okay to be in the
middle. As I'm kind of establishing myself more in Australia, I'm finding that I'm doing, you know, harder rooms.
Yeah.
When I say harder rooms, I mean I'm on the bill with people that are more established. Right.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So it's good for me to kind of be working with them, but it's also good for me to make sure that I'm pushing myself, because if I'm on shows with people that have been doing it a year, and people that have been doing it a year can be funny, yeah. But if I'm with, you know, people that are inexperienced, mm-hmm. then I will be funnier because I've got more experience, and I don't want that to be the case all the time.
Yeah, sure.
I need to make sure that I'm with...
Well, it's good to be the underdog.
Yeah, and yeah. It
drives
yeah.
you a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much for the audience where you're not the best on the bill, but for you,
because
then you're like, all right, this is where I'm at. I'm getting a better picture of where yeah. I am in the spectrum.
Like, if I'm on a bill where I'm the only person no one knows, I need to make sure that I
get work hard.
Leave a good yeah. lasting impression. Because there's been some gigs in my past where I really bombed and it made me feel really bad. So I try, you know, every comic bombs. Every comic has a bad yeah. set. But I've just had some bad sets where I really shouldn't have. I should have really brought it to the table. And I still carry it with me, and I know that I've lost work and respect and lot of things just because, for whatever reason, I just couldn't get the crowd that night. And people were watching me, and now they've written me off as someone who's terrible.
Really,
and I'm not terrible, but you know, if I bomb, I'm terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Any comic who bombs is terrible. So
we've all been there.
Yeah. So just don't bomb at the Hi-Fi Bar.
Oh no, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, total. Oh no.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'll never. It'll never go away.
That's so upsetting.
I need therapy to get rid of it, because I just can't let it go. Because I know
that's a decent thing to, like, a decent monkey to have on your back. You can carry that and just be like.
And people have told me not to. They're like, no, it doesn't matter. I said, yes, it matters.
Of course
it matters. Because if I had it killed, I would have got more spots, and I probably would have got roadshow gigs. I probably would have gotten heaps of gigs, and they would have looked at me going, you know, we know this girl. She's good.
She's a no.
And it was one. I've been away for so long, and it was the one chance to show them that I've been doing okay, that I know what I'm doing, and I bombed.
Oh,
so upsetting. They're well within their right to go. She hasn't gotten any better.
Oh, no. Kelly.
Oh, devastating. Devastating. Oh, man. Worst night of my life. Worst comedy night of my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go home and just be sad.
Oh, man. I didn't even stop to say goodbye to anyone. I just grabbed my bag and went to the car and just cried. It was just like, you got an opportunity and you blew it.
I've had that and so I haven't even done.
So disappointed in myself. Like, have not been able to pass it, you know, and I don't know if I'll get another chance. Well, but I might get another chance, but then there's more pressure because it's like last time I fucked it up. And the thing is, I'd done it before. I'd done Hi-Fi Bar fucking before I left America, like 2010.
Right.
And I stank. Oh, I mean, I didn't stink as much as it is this time. Yeah.
So you're on a relative scale of improvement, but not enough to
land. I can't even think about it. I'm so impressed.
That's fine. We don't have to talk about it.
Horrible. Anyway, at least it's my fault. It's no one else's but mine.
Yeah, look, that's an important thing to sit on too, I feel like, as the performer, because it's easy to be like, no, those shit wins.
Do you have a child that lives here?
No. No children.
Why is there paintings?
My housemate he works with kids.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they give him stuff. And he's also an artist, so sometimes he puts stuff up.
Okay, right. Oh, that's cute. All right. Sorry.
No,
got distracted because I was like, there's like fucking, must be a kid here. But I was like, it looks like a people's, you know, it looks like a kid, an adult's, you know.
It'd be weird to have a kid in here, I feel.
Look, there's way too many throw rugs and milk crates in here for a child to live
for
here.
For a child, yeah. It's
definitely a shit house.
Kid would choke on it and then run into a crate.
Yeah, anyway. So hopefully, we hope for the best. Anyway, so New York. Yeah, so the turnover of material is really good over there. And they're a lot harder. It's a lot, because, you know, a lot of open mics and it's your peers or the shows are harder. It's just a lot harder to get a laugh. But then I also know jokes that I have that really work in America that do really well that don't work here
as
well. So just trying to get,
figuring out why.
Yeah, and also now I'm a bit smarter in where I will try and write a joke that I know will work in both countries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like even like, something small, I'm like, oh, this is going to, you know.
Have you found a way to like quantify in your head what sort of qualities fit Or is it just a feel? Like, you look at a joke and you just know, no, that's not going to fly in one place or the other.
If it's like a really heavy Australian-laced joke, course, it won't fly. Yeah. But, but also there's little things that we have. Like, I've got a joke right now where I reference WebMD.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know that in America, WebMD is huge. Beach, yeah. And that joke is fine over there. Like, you meant, you know, and yep. The way it's gone in the joke, everyone's like, okay. And it does really well. But here, I feel like not everyone knows WebMD. So
I find that really curious.
Yeah. It wasn't until I did it a few times where I was like, why isn't this joke hitting as hard as it usually hits? So I asked a few people, and then it was a few comics were like, yeah, I know it, but I don't think people really know WebMD. Right. So then I was like, I changed it to, it's about, you know, self-diagnosing.
Yes.
Yeah. Where I'm like, you know, I have WebMD. Thanks so much. Like talking to, when you talk to a doctor and they're like, this is what's wrong with you. And you're like, yeah, yeah. But WebMD, thanks a lot. This, I know yeah. what's going on. I got this, right? And it's like, so now it's like, I kind of changed it to like, yeah, I have Googled my symptoms, but it just doesn't have the...
It's not as punchy. No. Like, it's not as tight.
I've Googled, even if I just
WebMD kind of... has a history of, like, if you... Someone's saying WebMD, you know exactly what type of person that is. I feel like it builds an idea of a person as yeah. well as a website.
Unless there's an Australian one, because I started asking, I'm like, is there an Australian one?
Equivalent? No.
There was, like, there could be, like, a, you know how there's, you know, a website in America is, like, oh, like, over there they have Seamless, and over here we have Menulog.
Right, yeah, you know? Yeah.
Same thing. Just that but, sort of, yeah. So that's why I'm wondering if it was that. But I'm like, maybe like, yeah, I've Googled it. So maybe it's that. I still haven't figured it out. But then I feel like if they're a young enough crowd, they'll get
WebMD. They should know him. It's a pretty common reference in American media and stuff like that.
Yeah, but in Australia, it's a little bit different. It doesn't wash as much as I'd like it to.
That's really unfortunate.
Yeah. I still do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I still do my show because I kind of figure, you know. I'll
for the people who get it, it's there.
Yeah, and also I might actually come up with the way that it will work.
Sure, yeah, yeah. You
like something might just pop in,
yeah,
and it will be like short and snappy and a nice curse sound. Who knows?
Mm.
So we'll just keep trying and see how we go. But like stuff like that, that you don't realize. So now I'm just more conscious, like anything new that's in this show. I'm confident that it will work over there.
Mm.
I do have a little bit of material about...
Could be Wikipedia. It could just be as simple as, I have Wikipedia.
Yeah, maybe it could be that. It could actually be that. It could be, I have a Wikipedia.
Because that has a history of being unreliable. And, yeah. You know, the type of person who would Google their symptoms on Wikipedia.
Well, maybe I'll try it tonight and let you know how I go.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I felt like it was missing something. Maybe that's it. Maybe that could actually be it. It's Wikipedia, but even Wikipedia is too many syllables. It's,
yeah.
I have wikied this or something like that. Yeah. But then, you know, I'm doing the backpackers tonight, so the international crowd might really get the WebMD kind of loose, part.
Yeah.
So who knows? Or I might even not even get to it. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I think I've got a little bit of stuff that about, like, my where I grew up that I don't think – it's very short, but I don't think it's going to work over there.
Right, yeah, I guess it's got, you know, certain
but then there's another
context.
Yeah, I've put a tag onto it that I think actually might work, but okay. I'm not going to know until I go to America. I'm never going to know until I go there and just see how it washes, you know?
Because even if you found Americans here, they've still got context of this country more than anyone who's never left, who lives over there permanently and doesn't see the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard. It's just hard to figure it out. But it's all right. That's why one of the reasons why I like going back and forth is to figure that out.
Great, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's jokes. I have jokes out there that really... I've got a whole bunch of stuff about waiting tables and women on that just does not work here. It's never going to work here.
It's such a different way the culture is designed around waiting and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, you know, even like
tips and everything.
Yeah, like I've got... Like, I have this line where I'm like, I don't have the strength to deal with the water with lemon brigade that's just clomping through the restaurant.
Right.
And then over there it works well, like, just the water with lemon brigade. Like,
yeah.
Can we just get water with lemon? And that's a huge thing over there, like, women who just come in, barely order anything, yeah. don't tip, take up a big table, and just wait with that man. And especially people I'm playing to, you know, a lot of them have waiter tables, or mm-hmm. they're younger people mm-hmm. that have waiter tables and blah, blah, blah. So they get it, and then they're on my side. But here, people are like, what's wrong with getting water with lemon? Like, what's that?
That's what I do.
But I get water with lemon, you know? So, I don't know. Who knows, man? It's just hard.
I mean, there's so many quantities. It's just, I mean, it's virtually impossible to quantify every audience, obviously being different, every room being different, tracking different types of people. You on the night might feel different. And you might come in and just be like, I don't have the energy for this today, but I've got to push through.
Well, sometimes like, sometimes I really like watching the person before me just to see where the audience is at. And also try not to make sure there's not similar material.
Yeah,
I did a room the other day and I've got, you know, this whole new bit. And I wrote it here actually. So it's only like 6 weeks old.
Okay.
And then the comic after me had a very similar premise. Completely different, you know, punchlines and direction that the joke went to, but the premise was pretty much identical. And it's not, I haven't seen that person do stand up. They haven't seen me. And I didn't even realize it. Like, I didn't even notice it until they said something to me afterwards going, oh, I didn't even realize that you have that bit. And I said, it's brand new. He goes, and he was like, so is mine. And I'm like, okay, well, if we're ever on the same show.
Yeah. Keep it in mind.
Well, there is a part of my brain that goes, well, Kelly, if both of us are coming up with the same premise, then maybe it's not that good in the first place. But we did actually come up with it.
Independently.
And we explained in the joke, you know, we just had the same experience, but we had different things that happened to us from this experience. But it's similar enough that you're on the same show, you're like,
Yeah, it's worth keeping in mind that.
Yeah, like if I'm on a show with him again, I would just be. And I think the next time we were on a show, I was hosting and I'd done the joke.
Right.
And then they didn't do that joke.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. So
self-censorship.
But I feel like I don't want to be an arsehole. I don't want to be like, because I was like, oh, I was honest to God. I was like, and because I've been away, that joke to them is older. They definitely come up with that joke before I did. It's probably a year old, that joke. But I haven't seen them and his joke has nothing to do with mine. But and the thing is, I don't want to say what it is because it might.
No, that's fine.
You know, because this person is very good.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, you know, make them feel stupid or like, I don't want them to think that they are at my caliber or we're coming up with the same, you know, premises, because this person is way, way, you know, in front of me and should be, and they're very, 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 very well known and it's all good. But it's just one of those things. Yeah. And even like, and there's another joke. I have like a short tag to a premise and someone else uses the same tag.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know. And we spoke about it and I was like, I actually said this in conversation. So there is a part of me that's really precious that was like, no, this is a conversation I had with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And actually the words came out of my mouth. And then after it happened, I said, I'm going to write this down.
Yeah.
And then this was a joke, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh, fuck. We can't. And they were like, listen, if we're on the same show together, then one of us can't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe I should try and come up with something better. I'll just, you know what I mean? Because their joke was definitely older than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never copied. It was just, and it's not even, jokes are different.
I've done it as well.
It's like a saying, you know what I mean? It's like saying, like, if I ended a joke going, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and someone else did.
Yeah.
You would notice it, you know? So, but the actual jokes are completely different.
No, I've done the same thing. I've had the start of my doing stand-up, and I landed a joke that I'd written not all that long ago, which turned out to have pretty much the exact same punch as a much, much older and more experienced comic. And he did pull me up on the show, and he was like, oh, just so you know.
Oh, shit.
I've been doing that for a little while. I was like, oh, fuck.
I'm curious to know who that is.
We can talk about
it. You tell me afterwards. Yeah. So don't tell me on the camera. Don't tell me on this. It would be bad.
But yeah, that was an interesting. That was my sort of first experience with that.
And well, good that they spoke to you about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you feel it was very similar?
Just with the way he performs, I can see exactly how it would have gone, and it made sense to me. It's like
puns. Was it the same premise or just the same line?
Different premise, same. Punch.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is exactly what this is with us. So I don't know. I just haven't been able to find something as funny as the line, though. The line's really pretty perfect when for that it. Happens. Yeah, and I was like, it was an honest conversation that I had with my ex-boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah.
And and I wrote it, and it's in my phone. I wrote it down as soon as I said it because I was like, this is really funny to me.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Shit. Which happens, you know what I mean? There's a lot of fucking stuff about plagiarism and this and that. And it's like, you know what? Every joke, I heard Judd Apatow on Opie and Jimmy talking about it.
Mm.
He's like, every joke has already been done.
Mm.
It's all been done. Now we're just seeing the same joke in, you know, different ways,
yeah, shapes and forms. It's like the Aristocrats documentary. You know? Yeah. Like, they're all doing the same joke, just their own spin on it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, as far as, like, watch The Honeymooners and then the stuff from Isle of Lucy. Watch Isle of Lucy, it's stuff from
Married with Children. All exactly the same, yeah.
Everything's the fucking same.
Everything's derivative of everything else.
So I just hope that if I write about myself enough, that it would be different enough because no one's going to have my own.
Well, that's right. It's not going to be your exact journey.
The only time that's ever happened is, and that's why I don't do like one-liners. That's why I talk about myself because mm-hmm. I'm like, it's pretty hard if someone, you know, and sometimes I'll see like new comics and maybe new lady comics. They'll be doing a premise that is really close or is mine, and I'm really like, fuck, did they copy this? Or and
right, it's
like,
yeah, yeah.
No, if I'm talking about being single, they're talking about being single. We're probably going to come up with the same Tinder joke. Universal. Like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So that's just up to me to write something funnier that can't be,
mm-hmm.
you know, seconded with anyone else. Mm-hmm. But I do know that myself, Hannah Gadsby, and Adam Richard have the same premise of a joke.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was like one of the first jokes I'd ever written, so it was never a good joke for me.
Sure.
Because it was brand new comic writing, and I probably did it for 2 years and yep. dropped it, and I have not done that joke in probably 6 years.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just not. And then one day at the local, I saw Hannah do like that same, and I was like, oh, fuck. But it was just really exciting to like talk to someone and go, you know, that happened to me too. And she was like, get the fuck out of here. And she'll have a bit about it. I said, yeah, but I don't do it anymore. And she's like, oh. And she was very like, oh, I didn't copy. And I was like, no. There was no copying. This is just one of those things where we had a very weird childhood. And it just so happened that the same thing happened to us.
Shit, right.
And I've talked to other people where they're like, this never happened to them. This is a very unique thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm 100% absolutely sure that you never, ever saw me do it. So don't. That's the last thing that would come in my mind, that someone would steal my joke.
Yeah, who would steal my joke?
Get a
life,
fucking
yeah.
brain, you idiot. What a dickhead. Like, I'm going to steal Caleb Stuka's jokes. Yeah, good luck being on the bottom. It's going to be great. Idiot. You know, and then I saw not long ago Adam Richard, same experience as a child. And afterwards I was like, dude, like I'm like, me and Hannah talk about the same thing. And he was like, fuck, do you? And I said, yeah, I haven't seen Hannah talk about it in years. I haven't spoken about it in years, but it's just good to know there's more of us out there.
Yeah,
like it actually
yeah.
is. The only reason I'm not saying anything to someone like Adam or Hannah to kind of go, I'm saying it because I'm like, oh my God, we're like the same person. This is mm-hmm. so great to know that I'm not alone.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. So great. It's just a really, I mean, maybe I'll take it out of retirement one of these days.
Well,
but
I
mean, now that Adam's doing it pretty regularly, I'm like, oh, that's fine. You know mm. what I mean? It's just a great little premise. And also in hearing people like Hannah and Adam take their spin on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, mine was such a cliche spin. Theirs is really unique to them spin. Which is exactly what, you know, comics should do.
Yeah, yeah. You got to kind of find your voice, apply it all to
yeah.
everything that your trade, I guess.
And yeah.
then from there, build and make each joke as unique to you as possible.
Yeah.
All right. I know we're going to have to get you on the road at some point. We'll do the second part of this where we just have a quick chat about. We've both got a clip.
Okay.
And I'll play it.
Oh, great, okay.
Have a quick chat, and then so we might do your one first.
Okay.
Which you've talked a little bit about, actually.
Oh, great.
So,
let's see.
God.
Let's see.
Joe List.
I love Joe. Joe List is one of the nicest people I know. Like, the kindest, most thoughtful, and his fiance Sarah. Just the most beautiful, beautiful people.
Yeah.
Like, if I had $1 million, I'd give him, you know, $20. It would be great.
That's... very generous.
Oh, this is his Conan. Oh, I love his Conan.
I have a girlfriend. I don't think she's attracted to me. I don't know if anyone has that problem in their relationship. I was talking to her the other day. I was like, baby, do you think I'm hot? And she was like, yeah, you're the sweetest. Those aren't really synonyms, but I was like, no, do you think I'm sexy? She's like, well, you're very punctual. I was like, all right. That's true. A little hurtful in this context. Then I was walking away and I was like, I might kill myself. And she's like, you had a good run. I'm like, that wasn't even a question. Yeah. Now you're just bullying me at this point. She's real pretty. She's pretty. I like to tell her she's pretty. Can you tell girls they're pretty? I don't even know anymore. I told a girl I didn't know she was pretty the other day. She got mad at me. She's like, I don't need you to validate me. I was just trying to be nice. I didn't mean to imply that you're a mall parking garage ticket. If it makes you feel any better, I only think you're pretty on the outside now. Guys, you ever get caught checking out a girl with your girlfriend, not because she sees you, but because you elbow her thinking she's one of your buddies? That's an uncomfortable feeling. I was with my girlfriend in the park the other day. I'm like, hey, check out this ugly bitch over here. I hate that woman. I thought you were Phil. Sorry about that. I thought all guys checked out girls. Some guys don't. I was with my friend the other day. He's a straight guy. This beautiful girl walked by, and I was like, check out that girl. He goes, why? I don't know. I just thought that was a thing we were doing. Are we not doing that? I thought girls are like deer in sunsets. You just point them out if you see one. I guess not. I like checking girls out, but I would never cheat on my girlfriend. I don't want you guys to think I'm a bad guy. I would never cheat on my girlfriend because we gossip together too much, and I feel like I would just rat myself out trying to one-up her gossip. I could be laying in bed. She's like, I don't want to sound mean, but Michelle's gained like 8 pounds, and I heard her boyfriend might leave her because of it. And I'm like, whoa, that is spicy gossip. All right, I got one for you. You are never going to guess who's cheating on you. This is huge. Why are you crying? I haven't even told you yet. You can't cheat, though. It's very unhealthy to cheat. That's why I keep a picture of my girlfriend as my iPhone background picture. She thinks it's sweet, but to me, it's like a Surgeon General warning on a pack of cigarettes. If I meet a girl on the road, she's like, take down my number. I'm like, all right, wait. This could kill me. Even with a warning, it's hard to quit, but you gotta be strong, you know? And, anyways, she's sexy. We have sex. That's exciting. Oh, yeah, thank you. I don't know if you're clapping for me or sex, but either way, thank you. I like high heels. Those are sexy. Do you guys? I like high heels during sex. I don't know if that's... Thanks for making me feel creepy there. I like shoes in bed because it's preposterous. They don't belong in bed, you know? That's why... It's like a threesome. Like, you shouldn't be here, but stick around. I like where this is going. Feels good. Also, like, a woman naked wearing shoes is like the sexiest look of all time. A man naked with shoes, not nearly as sexy a look. We're not quite able to pull that look off just yet. I don't know the sciences behind it, but if I'm naked wearing shoes, I look like a baby that rolled away from his mother while she was changing him. Like she went to grab a wipe and I was like, no! And I ran. I hide in the curtain, tiny penis slipping everywhere. And, I think as a woman naked wearing shoes, it's kind of like she's like, I forgot to get dressed. And a man naked with shoes is like, I forgot to take my medicine. I'm having an episode. Ooh. They're sexy, though. Those shoes are hard to walk in, though. I know, because I've never tried to walk in high heels. But I saw a woman fall the other day. She was walking in heels. She wasn't old. It wasn't slippery. She wasn't drunk. She was just wearing heels. And then all of a sudden, she was like, ah! I thought she got shot. I came running over. I was like, this is an epidemic. I had her by the arms. I'm pulling her. I was like, where are you hit? And she's like, it's my shoe. I was like, Jesus, we got to get you some new, get you out of those shoes, and into bed, and then back into those shoes, where it's safe and sexy. All right, you guys are great.
Great.
Yeah, I love some of the stuff.
Have you heard about fantastic. Him before I mentioned him?
No, actually, oh, great. This is my it's first really time good. With him, yeah.
He's really great. That phone joke, the Surgeon General warning, I remember him. I remember seeing that joke a bunch in, like, you know, just like a shitty club ages ago.
Yeah.
Like, probably maybe 2 years ago. And I laughed so hard, like, just like, wait, nah, this could kill me. And I'm like, Joe, I love this joke. I think it's so funny. And he was like, it's not working. It's not, it doesn't work. Like, it just, really? Something happened where it just wasn't working and people weren't getting it and blah, blah, blah. And then it's really like the evolution of comedy now.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
He figured out, I don't know what.
He's doing it on Conan now.
Yeah, I don't know that's what great. Was wrong with it before where it wasn't working. To me, it always worked.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I got it's it instantly. It's a brilliant
premise, yeah.
Yeah, but he was just like, yeah, it's not hitting as hard. It's not hitting. And then, you know, and then you see it on Conan and it's like, oh, wow, how's that for the evolution of comedy, you know? It's
brilliant. And
it's probably 2 years in between, you know? Right. Like, that's how long it takes for a joke to be Conan worthy.
Yeah.
On the shoe stuff, I mean, that shoe stuff, I saw like 10, 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
So he's only taken the best of.
Yeah.
But they're like, look at that fat bitch. Oh, God. So good. And very good human being.
Yeah.
Oh, very, that's very good to human hear. Being. Yeah. Really amazing human being that deserves all the, you know,
love and attention.
Yeah. Deserves everything that he wants and more.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad we got him up on here.
Yeah, I hope you know, he comes to Melbourne for a festival at some stage.
Well, if he does,
I'd love Australia to discover him.
Yeah.
Find out who he is, you know.
I'll keep an eye out for his name if he pops in at any point. We've had a few little, not little, but like smaller than the people who normally come around. Like we had Joe Mandy and Lil Esther come out this year.
Who was the second one?
Lil Esther. Who's Esther Pravinsky.
I don't know that.
I've seen her on a couple of things. Joe. She's popped in and out. And they both got brought out on a small tour and they did a couple of cities and they were fun. I went and checked them out. They were good sets. Like, it was basically watching them do headlining sets. You know, they just sort of got up and they were like, we know how to do this.
Yeah.
But because comedy is such a rare thing, or it's just such a weird sort of relationship with comedy when it's not festival time.
Mm.
They had people coming out and like doing reviews and stuff. And they were, particularly Joe was like, please don't review me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just out having a good time.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
But it was
Yeah, I mean, if I get to a point where I'm selling tickets pretty, you know, very rigorously, I'm going to say no to reviews.
Yeah.
Like, once I get to a point where I don't need them.
Yeah.
I don't want people coming in and just being mean for no reason, because I feel like there's reviewers that know what they're doing.
Getting and a free do their ticket job. To take a shit on you.
Yeah, but there's reviewers that are really good, that they know exactly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
They know exactly what they're doing and how to say it. But then, especially during festivals, sometimes the people reviewing aren't qualified.
Well, there are like people who just have an understanding of how comedy works. And they can come in and at least apply some brain power to it and think, this is what they're attempting.
Yeah.
This is how I feel it went. This is how the audience responded really to it.
Not during festival, because they need a lot of people shows, to do stuff. I don't want someone from the gardening section whose favourite comedian in the world is Akmal.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Akmal.
No, it's just not telling your me audience,
that
yeah.
why I'm not funny.
Mm.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I totally get that.
So, anyway.
No, that's fine. You can,
who have you got?
It's gonna get off your chest.
Are you showing someone now?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this someone that you're...
This is Nish Kumar. He's a British comedian.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of him.
He's coming out for the festival.
Oh, great.
And I'm quite excited to see him. So I figured I'd put a little clip on.
Oh, great. I've never heard of this person before.
Sweet.
This is exciting.
Welcome to stage, the wonderful Nish Kumar!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? You all right? Yeah. Tremendous. My name is Nish. I have some jokes for you. I hope you enjoy them. If you don't, I am sorry, because it will almost certainly have been my fault. Because that's the thing about being a comedian. I love it. It's a great job. But it's a weird job, because I might do it to the best of my ability and you might not enjoy it. Comedy's an inherently subjective medium. No two people can agree on what's funny. So if you don't think I'm funny, that's absolutely fine. The only problem I have as a comedian is that if somebody thinks what I'm doing is not funny, it stops being comedy. And there's no other job like that. If you're a builder and you build a wall, people go, that's a good wall, or that's a shit wall. No one says, that is not a wall, yeah? Built a bloody duck, mate. What are you thinking, you Fruit Loops? And listen, I enjoy the fact that people have different opinions. I think that's part of what makes being a human being interesting or exciting. I don't like it when people can't justify their opinions or they do so on spurious grounds. Like, my dad doesn't like rap music. Now, I like rap music, but I know there's a lot of good reasons to not like rap music. Misogyny, homophobia, needless celebration of wealth. My dad doesn't like rap music because he says it's easy, and then he will prove that by doing a rap. Because rap music's a piece of pissnish, watch this. My name is Dad and I'm here to say I'm a really great guy. That's not proof of anything. You can't say something's easy and your evidence is you do it badly. That's like me going, jazz music's a piece of piss, watch this. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, check out this easy juggling. And I've had two separate arguments with my friends in the last 12 months because they didn't go to see 12 Years a Slave. Now, here's the thing. I don't think you had to go and see 12 Years a Slave. I just didn't like the reasoning. One of my friends just went, I'm not going to see that film, Nish. And I said, why not? And he said, because it's not even a good film. Which I think we can all agree is logically bold. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he just said, oh, it's because it's about slavery. People are guilted by the subject matter into thinking it's a good movie. That's why it's done well. It's just because it's about slavery. Now, I'm pretty sure that's not the case. I'm pretty sure 12 Years a Slave has done well because at least some people think it's a good film. In fact, I know that's the case because I don't think 12 Years a Slave would have won all the Oscars it had won if it had starred Eddie Murphy as four different slaves. A Chinese man for no reason, right? I went to see 12 Years a Slave. At the end of the movie, it's kind of silent. Everybody's sort of collecting themselves. The lights come up. And there's a girl sat behind me who's still just weeping openly. And I turn around and realise that this girl is black. And I think, oh, my God, this is incredible. She must have had some kind of personal connection to this movie. I'm so moved that I'm here to share what is clearly an important moment in her cultural and personal development. And then I realised that's the most patronising thing I've ever thought in my life. And I know it is because I remember how I felt 5 years ago when people kept coming up to me going, dude, Slumdog. But here's the thing, there has never been a better time. Things are getting better, especially conversationally. Like, conversationally, it's no longer acceptable to do an accent that's clearly an impersonation of a non-white ethnicity. If you do it, people get really awkward, people really don't like it anymore. Apart from one ethnic group, there is one ethnic group we have no problem impersonating for some reason. And that ethnic group is black women from the south of America. Because for some weird reason, no matter how liberal you are, occasionally and without warning, you'll just go, and you know mama don't like that. How is that okay? That's definitely not okay. If I do an Indian accent, people go, Nish, you should not do that. It is crass, it is offensive, and you know mama don't like that. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you take nothing away from anything else I've said this evening, let it be this. I think we can all agree that Mama Don't Like That would definitely be the name of that Eddie Murphy remake of 12 Years a Slave. That is almost beyond doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to me. My name's Nish. Good night.
Ha, good callback at the end.
Yeah, solid development of that.
Yeah, he's great. He's really charming.
Yeah.
Really endearing. Like, I'm watching him going, like, just very welcoming.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. He's, everything I've seen him do and everywhere he's popped up, it's just all really sort of, his mannerisms are really just sort of, come in, I'm going to speak to you about these big things, but we're going to do it together. It's fine. Hold my hand and we'll go.
Well, I feel like that's what Trevor Noah does too. Mm-hmm. He's really endearing, and it doesn't matter if we're not, you know, we didn't grow up the same. Yeah. I'll explain it to you in a way that's not going to make you feel bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, you won't feel similar. Like an idiot at the end of my set.
Yeah. Is he coming down for headliners or doing an hour?
No, he's doing his own show for the entire festival.
Oh, great. What's it called?
It's like blah, 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 long word. Something like that.
Oh, you know, no, yeah, it's a really, it's like, weird,
pretentious title.
Where is he?
He is, I cannot remember. He's probably in like
town hall.
Yeah.
Oh, great! That's good. How exciting!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a fun show.
Yay! All these newbies coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should definitely check out Mark as well if you like Joe.
Sweet. Yeah.
Mark is definitely going to be up your alley.
Sounds great. Mm. I'll chuck him on my list and see if I can find some stuff. See what I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mark's got a Conan. It's really good.
Okay, sweet.
So definitely have a look. I think maybe there's two of them. The first one, I don't remember the second one. I'm sure it was really good. But the first one I remember, he's just killer.
Yeah.
like, just like, what did he say? He's got a joke where he's like, you know, a lot of Puerto Ricans live in New York, and you hear at the end in the audience, you just hear, woo! He's like, all right, Puerto Ricans. Okay, too many. but like totally off the cuff, yeah. Like just like too many. And then at the end, when he Conan shakes his hand as they're going out to break, he grabs Conan's tie and just dabs his forehead with his tie. And the next time I saw him, I was like, dude, that made my day.
That's fantastic.
And he was like, Conan didn't like that.
Oh, I bet he didn't.
And
yeah.
He was like really mad at me that I did that. I'm like, it's so funny. I'm like, all of us, everyone was posting the screenshot of him because he did the face where he just went, oh. Like, you know, Mark, one of Mark's kind of cadences is going, oh my God. Like he's got that, oh, blip. And like he was like Jews and stuff. So just like doing that, you're just like, oh, funny. Oh my God, what a dude.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right, we'll let you go. But before you go, anything you want to plug? Anything you want to say? Anything
else? Ideas? No, nothing. No. Thanks for having me. I always like to have a good nerd out about comedy. Yeah. And Melbourne for Comedy Festival. And I'll be in Sydney for the Sydney Comedy Festival in April.
Sweet, yep.
So just go to califstuka.com for links to tickets. Or just put my name in a search engine for Melbourne or Sydney and just come along. I'm at 9:45. Yay.
You're on Twitter?
I am at Kelly Fistuka, and then my website and Facebook. Facebook, I don't know what to do because I'm at my 5,000 limit.
Yeah.
Can I just change my private page into an actual fan page?
You would think that would be possible.
Can I just do that? No.
Send them a kindly worded letter saying, hey guys.
I can't do that, can I?
Not that I know of, because I feel like every fan page has to be connected to a private page for accounts and stuff.
Okay.
So possibly.
So I've got to start. I don't know, but I feel like an arsehole having to start a new page, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I feel silly. I don't know, I have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know, we'll see how we go.
Cool. Well, you're around.
Yeah, I'm around. Just, easy Twitter's pretty easy and my website, well, whatever.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming out and good luck tonight.
Oh, thanks.
No worries.
We'll hope for the best.
Yeah.
Shit, that was good. Right? Just so, like, for me, at my level, very insightful, very helpful. I'd love to have just sat with her and picked her brain for a bit longer. Alas, time constraints. But it's good. I feel like I got a lot out of it. Hope you did too. Go support Kelly. It's good to support local. And just before we go, once more, guys, come out to the live shows, please. March 25th, April 1st, April 8th, April 15th. They are packed with spectacular guests, and you're going to have a really fun time. I'm really looking forward to seeing you all out there. And just, we're going to fade out on a little song called On a Planet No One Knows, by a local artist, 360. Now, the more astute of you will have observed that I do tend to turn to hip-hop for the intro, outro music of this podcast. The main reason for that being, I feel like hip-hop and stand-up have sort of like a center, a Venn diagram crossover of sorts, in that they're both American art forms, like both quintessentially American art forms, and they both, when done well, can express the concerns of a community just succinctly and eloquently, and just bring it all to people's attention while entertaining. And I just feel like these are qualities that should be celebrated. Plus, the music's just great, to be honest. So I've picked the two artists that I picked today for the music because they're both involved with the local scene, either through the sketch show or because he's a local rapper. Because it's a comedy festival time, guys. You should get out there and support local comics. I know it's tough sometimes to pick between so many. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. Help you guys make those choices. Come see the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. March 25th, April 1st, April 8th, April 15th. Alright, here's your song. Thanks.
Facebook, I displayed a pic of me and my mates with different shades of skin. Came back 10 minutes later then, a lot of the comments are on some racist shit. And I see that shit and it makes me sick. I don't believe in God, but yo, I pray to him. They're my haters since. I don't wanna have fans that are racist pigs. We're all humans, Earth is a place we live. That's how Australia is. Fuck off, we're full, yet a statement lives. Yeah, we are full of all you racist dicks. Uneducated, basic shit. A topic I have very little patience with, and I shouldn't even say this. If I see a group of lads with our flag, yo, I bet some are racist. It's cool to be loving where you come from, and it's cool to be patriotic, but real talk, I'm seeing a lot of hate for Aussies, kids. A lot of us are fucking racist cockheads. Yeah, don't take me wrong. Most of the time you're saying something, you're unaware it's something, you probably shouldn't say it all. All I'm trying to do is educate you more. That ain't the way we're supposed to exist. Now I'm on a planet where nobody lives. To try how utopians think, where we don't change the tone of our voice for the tone of your skin. Even though I want you near.
Equality is not a concept. It's not something we should be striving for. It's a necessity. Equality is like gravity. We need it to stand on this earth as men and women. And the misogyny that is in every culture is not a true part of the human condition. It is life out of balance, and that imbalance is sucking something out of the soul of every man and woman who's confronted with it. We need equality, kind of now.